This is Jay Sekulow. Will Hillary Rodham Clinton face an indictment?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The FBI is very smart. I believe they already knew before today everything that was in here.
Do you believe that she's going to be indicted?
I believe there's ample evidence to indict her, and the only way she wouldn't be is if the president or the attorney general makes a
Do you believe the FBI is going to put forth that evidence to the public?
Yes. Whether she's indicted or not, I believe we will learn.
Do you believe that'll happen before the election?
I believe it'll happen before the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
You have said that you would talk to anyone, any time about your emails, yet you did not cooperate with State Department investigators, an agency that you ran. Why?
Well, I have talked about this for many, many months. I testified for 11 hours before the committee, the Benghazi committee. My email use was widely known in the department, throughout the government, and I have provided all of my work-related emails.
You can't do what she did. You just can't do what she did and get away with it. A human person doing what she did would have been disciplined, their security clearance would have been removed, they could well have been fired.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Let me just say again to emphasize, it's not just the email. Her use of cell phones and iPads and laptops that were not secure exposed them to being taken control of by foreign intelligence agencies that can use, for example, the microphone in your cell phone to transmit to them.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Well, as I expected and as I said, in light of the Inspector General's report, the fact is that the email scandal of Hillary Clinton has gotten much more significantly dangerous for her candidacy. You heard Judge Andrew Napolitano say he's expecting an indictment. Others are starting to say that as well. The big takeaway, besides the fact that the server was unsecured and unauthorized, was the statement that she relied on the Office of Legal Counsel within the State Department to approve and authorize her use of private email is categorically false. That is incorrect. She also said she would be cooperative and talk with anyone. She did not speak with the Inspector General. I'm sure her lawyer advised her not to in light of the FBI. But you don't get it both ways. And the reality is right now, as it's developing, this is a very serious situation for Hillary Clinton. Jordan, I think she's at the most dangerous point of her campaign this week.
Yeah, absolutely, especially leading into the primaries next week. I mean, when you've got this kind of situation unfolding where she's got about 10 days left to really put together an effort that will blunt Bernie Sanders, that's one of her issues, and this is not helping. So it's not just Republicans who are seizing on this,
yep,
but Democrats as well, and the party activists, which she's had a tough time with the Democrat base, a tough time with the entire campaign.
And you saw the California numbers show basically a statistical dead heat between her and Bernie Sanders. All right, we're taking your calls on the Clinton email scandal, what you think it means, how does it impact the election, your thoughts about it, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're also going to take your calls on this boycott, divest, and sanctions against Israel. I told you on the broadcast yesterday, two DNC members on the platform committee, both adamantly, vehemently anti-Israel. I'm going to be at the General Assembly addressing a conference at the General Assembly of the United Nations on Tuesday. And right now, 107,000 of you are going with me. We did clear the 100,000 mark last night, which was very good news. We now want to get it to 110,000. So let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and sign on to that petition, ACLJ.org, or give us a call as well. We want to talk to you. Your view on where the election is right now. How do you view the issue of Israel? And what about Hillary Clinton's email scandal? Does that sink her campaign? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. Hey, folks, like us on Facebook. Share us on Facebook. I've got a page. Jordan has a page. The ACLJ has a page. Even the band has a page. So we encourage you to do that. Again, ACLJ.org is the best way to do that. And again, also sign up for those newsletters and email alerts. We're going to take more of your calls when we come back at 800-684-3110 as we celebrate the men and women that serve our country. 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal advocacy campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a matter of days, we are co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you right now. Add your name to our new petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.
Yes, that's our friend Lee Greenwood with the Jay Sekulow Band doing his famous song, God Bless the USA. And I will tell you that during one of the breaks, we're going to play segments of that song. If you're on Facebook or Periscope, we encourage you to do that. All right, we're going to go right to the phones. Remember, on Tuesday, I'm going to be at the UN General Assembly for a day-long hearing, basically, on the issue of this attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel through the boycott, divest, and sanction movement. I just got off the phone with the Israeli ambassador's office. It's going to be a big crowd, a huge crowd, actually, at the event. You can go with us, and I will say, friends and members of the ACLJ, we started with 107,000. I wanted to get 100,000. We got that. We're now at 108,326, moving towards 110,000. So we're encouraged about that. We're getting a lot of comments coming in on Facebook already on the Hillary Clinton matter. Let me read a few. Ada Lee on Facebook says, I don't think Hillary will face an indictment. Obama will pardon her. He has the right to. Constitutionally, he could. But that would, Jordan, the impact on that for her campaign would be devastating. That would be over.
Yeah, it would be, again, that's something you can't recover from, and I think the Democrats would be scrambling, and they're in a position right now where it's not like Bernie Sanders is a distant second, but we know that they're concerned he doesn't appeal enough to mainstream independent voters in the country, and so they'd be in that situation again, which may be scrambling for somebody to come in and save the day. Now, this is all hypothetical at this point, and I think for the most part, honestly, the Washington, D.C. Democrats, the elected officials, members of Congress, some of the state party leaders, they would rather see, honestly, at this point, I still think Hillary Clinton, even with all the scandal, because she's got more appeal to independent voters. And that is what's going to be interesting about this, is how much her campaign can take. It's coming at the very end of it. Obviously, we've only got about 10 days left in the Democrat campaign.
And we have an interesting question coming in from Stan on Facebook about Joe Biden. What effect will Joe Biden have on the race? If he ended up coming in because of superdelegates, as Jordan said yesterday, kind of vacate Hillary Clinton, I don't think they're picking Bernie Sanders. They would go with Joe Biden. He's a very tough campaigner, I will tell you that. We also, I want to say this, Patsy on Facebook says, I love you guys and tell it like it is. I support Israel 100% and thank you for standing for Israel. Hey, thank you all for standing with us. We're going to be able to deliver, it looks like 110, maybe more 110,000 petitions to the state of Israel when I make that presentation. We're going to have it filmed, by the way, and I hope to be able to call in from the actual UN General Assembly, which would be pretty great. So we're going to work. We're working on that as well. All right, let's go to the phones. We got a lot of calls coming in. Let's start with Joel from Augusta, Georgia. Joel, you're on the air.
Hey, Jay.
Yes, sir.
So my point is that the left is, it's not the first time that this sort of thing has happened. There has been a sort of movement by the left to try to eschew security for convenience, hence the, I'm not sure if you heard of this, the Burr-Feinstein encryption bill, and also the,
right,
and also other sort of, and also there wasn't much leadership over the OPM hack.
Well,
that
let me tell you this, though, also, Joel, the Office of Inspector General said that, although Hillary Clinton's staff said that her devices met the security standards, it's interesting that the inspector general said they did not meet the minimum security protections. So that's how significant this is. Go ahead with the rest of your comment.
But as a technophile, this makes me feel disgusted at this sort of thing.
Well, look, I mean, our national security is at risk. I mean, I think the reason the drumbeat has picked up in the last 24 hours is you've got, do we have the statement from Andrea Mitchell? I want to get this up. And you got reporters that are left of center, Jordan, starting to talk about this in a very negative way. In fact, there was an exchange between Andrea Mitchell and I think it was a Clinton spokesperson or one of the congressmen that's for Hillary Clinton. And Andrea Mitchell was really tough. But this is starting to come down now.
Yeah, and it's because that when it comes down to it, we could play this soundbite. It's with Democrat Congressman Adam Schiff, who is a supporter. And they're trying to say, oh, listen, it's just not new information. But in fact, there is a huge difference between what Hillary Clinton did and past Secretary of State's. Take a listen, Byte 46.
I think the IG report, for those of us that have been really following this, doesn't present a whole lot of new information. It does, I think, catalog that going back at least four Secretaries of State, each of them as either in full or in part used private email to conduct official business, but nothing all that striking.
Congressman, let me just fix the record here, because Madeleine Albright used no email, neither did Condoleezza Rice, neither of them used any emails. Colin Powell used email. He was the first to use email. He used both personal and official email. And the report acknowledges that he did not turn over all, but there were requirements that came into play after he left office, long after he left office, in the midway through the Clinton tenure.
You know, it got worse than that even. So look at this. Again, this is Andrea Mitchell, MSNBC, versus Adam Schiff, Democratic congressman.
You could equally say that Colin Powell was the first Secretary of State to use personal email exclusively for official business. He didn't provide any of those emails when he left office.
People have been surprisingly
mute about the fact that Secretary Powell...
That's not what the report said. So this is the spin is not working here, Jordan. That's the bottom line, and that's why you got this momentum now. I mean, Andrew Napolitano, our friend, took a very bold statement saying, hey, I think there's going to be an indictment before the convention. I don't know about that, but I think the drumbeat on this is getting very serious.
Well, you know, this is not the 1990s anymore. And so journalists, people understand technology, and you can't get away with saying, oh, things are like how they were 20 years ago. When in fact, we all know the difference between using a private email account and having your own private server. And we know why Hillary Clinton did it, because it's in the emails. It's so that her emails would not be subject to FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests. So she did it intentionally to hide her emails from the public, which they become available if you are a government official, especially one at this high level. But for all government officials, they can be public. And her team, her staff, now her campaign team that was at the Secretary of State's office, set this up intentionally to shield her against the rules. And then also, you know, that's the IG report. Then there's the criminal side of this
as well. Which is completely separate, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I think what you have to look at is, one, the political impact this has.
Yep.
It makes Hillary Clinton that much less popular. Does it mean that she won't be the nominee? Not yet, because we'd have to see that, I think, the indictment kind of move come down. But is she a very weakened candidate who was already getting beaten up in this process through the Democrat primary? Absolutely. It makes it a very interesting race when you've got Donald Trump as the Republican nominee and Hillary Clinton going through this. She has not yet secured the nomination.
Billy on Facebook writes, the current administration has set a very dangerous precedent for future office holders. We'll see how bad it is, Billy, when we see if there's a referral from the FBI for a criminal indictment and the Department of Justice decides to not prosecute. That will be a telling sign. We'll know that, by the way, that information will get out. It always does. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Joseph is calling from Springfield, New Jersey. You're on line three. Hi, Joseph.
Yeah, so thank you for everything that you do to protect our Christian rights, first off.
Yep.
And my question is this. Obviously, Hillary has broken the law when it comes to the email scandal. And as you mentioned, there are over 32,000 emails that were deleted, violating the Freedom of Information Act. What type of action legally can be taken against her?
It's the FBI has to make a case that there's been a violation of the criminal law. They do what's called, I did this when I was in Treasury. We work with the agents. We would create what's called a CRL, a criminal reference letter. That letter would take the evidence, put it into a legal format, send it over then to the Department of Justice with the recommendation for prosecution. It's called a CRL. That's what the FBI is working on now. It will be up to the Attorney General to make that call whether, in fact, to indict or not. That will be the key. I do point out that as of right now, as far as we know, Hillary Clinton has still not been interviewed by the Department of Justice. But this report from the Inspector General, this report that I'm holding in my hand, this report that you're seeing on Facebook and Periscope and on ACLJ.org, and you're hearing it on radio, this report lays out a very serious charge against Hillary Clinton. All right, folks, we're going to take more of your calls. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We got a couple lines open. We encourage you to call. We have 108,326 signatures on our petition to defend Israel. I am going to the UN. Folks, this is an historic moment in ACLJ history. The boycott, divestiture, and sanction is an attempt to delegitimize the Jewish state of Israel. We've been called upon to help defend that. We're doing that in courtrooms. We're doing that in the halls of Congress. We're working with over 30 state legislatures. We've done cases literally from coast to coast defending Jewish or Israeli academics, including Hindu students that have stood up for Israel, Christian students that have stood up for Israel. But there's a fight by these groups on the left to delegitimize Israel. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get into some of that as well. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, but you can go right over to ACLJ.org right now. Sign that petition. I encourage you to do it. Really makes a lot of difference. ACLJ.org, defend Israel from the anti-Israel attacks. We're going to be at the United Nations, at the General Assembly. I'm going to take those petition signatures, hand them to the ambassador for Israel to the United Nations. You're going to be able to see that too. ACLJ.org, great information. Encourage you to go there right now. Sign that petition. Back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal advocacy campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a matter of days, we are co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you right now. Add your name to our new petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Well, that's our friend Lee Greenwood, who's in the studio with our Jay Sekulow band, and we did our rendition of his famous song, and we're thrilled to do it. We've been playing portions of it during the breaks for our friends on Facebook and Periscope. We'll continue to do that. I asked Jordan the percentages of Joe Biden getting into the race, and Jordan, you still say right now low would change drastically if there was a recommendation on a criminal referral.
Yeah, I think that even before the indictment, if there is that recommendation that from the FBI that there should be an indictment, they don't get to make that decision, but the recommendation, which could be public, some people are expecting that would be before the Democrat convention, which is at the end of July. So we're just a couple months away, less than a couple months away from that, that ultimately that could be enough to have a big shakeup on the Democrat side. The question is, Could you go with someone other than Bernie Sanders? I mean, is that really going to be possible at this point with as well as he has done, especially if he's able to take a state like California in 10 days on June 7th, which has over 500 delegates at stake?
Joe Biden would be, for the Democrats, though, a much stronger nominee than Bernie Sanders.
Absolutely. I mean, politically,
and he'd be
a
strong nominee for the Democrats, actually.
I think, you know, you could see how he could contrast well with Donald Trump, go up against Donald Trump. He doesn't have the same kind of scandal-ridden background. He's not afraid to say things that are a little tougher, too. I mean, if you remember going back through his history, this is a tough guy who's been in politics a long time.
Yep.
But more appeal to the middle, certainly more appeal, I think, in the Midwest and the blue-collar and labor union voter. Rust Belt, if you will, that because Bernie Sanders is so far to the left that I think, you know, he scares a little bit of the middle America.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. All right, Jordan, you've got the ability to pull calls now. Let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Let's go to Joe on line one from Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Joe. Welcome to JSEC.
Hey, Live. Thank you. Yes, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all you do. Quick question. Why has Hillary not been disbarred yet, and is there any movement underway to consider doing that?
Well, the disbarment proceedings have to be initiated by a state bar, and the state bar has to say that in wrongdoing that was engaged in violated the rules as a lawyer. But I think she either let her bar, and Jordan will go into the details on this, she either put it into inactive status or actually let it expire.
Yeah, when she ran for Senate for the 2002 election, she didn't continue her continuing legal education or CLE credits, which you would have to do to keep it up. So she let her license expire, Joe. So she's technically...
So there's nothing
not
to bar her from. She's not
does a, not have that license, right?
Yeah, she's not a member of a state bar. So a bar can't take action against someone that's not engaged in the practice of law. All right, let's take another call. We're taking your calls, by the way, at 800-684-3110, 1-800-685-3110. Jordan, let's take David's call in Miami because I want to talk about that for a moment.
All right, David on line six. Welcome to JSEC-io Live.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm a veteran, still serving our veterans, and I've got a question.
Great.
If President Obama does become Secretary General and continue his efforts, and it does look like he is trying to improve his international image with these visits, won't there be a bigger risk on the BDS issue, and we'll really need a strong president to oppose that kind of force?
Let me tell you this. I suspect I'll be able to report this on Wednesday or Thursday, but I suspect that the issue of BDS at the UN has reached a tipping point. The United Nations is hostile to the state of Israel. More anti-Israel resolutions are passed on Israel than are passed on any other country, including countries that have human rights abuses. So that's number one. Number two, when you look at the BDS situation in the United States, it has become epidemic in its scope because of what's happening in the universities and on the university campuses. So this is an entrenched movement to delegitimize the state of Israel. Number three, we have got to beat them back, and we've done that on a case-by-case basis. That's how you have to win it. But we need to start bringing this to the attention of people, and there's a false narrative out there that somehow being anti-Israel is a good thing right now. We've got to destroy that narrative. It's the only democracy in the Middle East. And if you want to talk about this, the DNC Platform Committee has, and you're talking about making moral equivalents, has not only Cornel West, whose sound I played for you the other day, but let me play James Zogby, the poll. He's the guy at the Zogby poll. Here's what he had to say.
I don't favor the philosophy of Hamas or the tactics or the priorities, but I also find deplorable the way that Israel has created the situation of despair, the situation of poverty in Gaza, and then has committed these repeated massacres as they have done in the last couple of weeks. Look, people can sow doubt on whether this building or that building, but when you bomb the power plant and leave 1.8 million people without power, this is wrong. It's a war crime, and it really must be addressed.
Okay, so somebody didn't have power for 30 minutes, and that's a war crime. Now, this is during the conflict of a war. Hamas is lobbing rockets at civilians. Jordan and I have been subject of that. We've been there when those rockets are coming in. Now, James Zogby is on the DNC Platform Committee, Jordan, on the issue of, and this is important to point out, and that Platform Committee is reevaluating its longstanding tradition of supporting Israel. So you got that going on. Plus, as Jordan is going to point out, guess who supplies the power to the Gaza Strip? And,
yeah, it's
and
actually the Israeli government. So Israeli taxpayers who are paying for that power. And I think everybody, we have, I'm sure, a lot of active duty and veterans as we head into Memorial Day weekend, and families of veterans and those who serve listening to this broadcast right now. They all know that one of the first military tactics, if you engage, is to cut the power. I mean, that's just a normal tactic. It doesn't mean you cut it off forever, and Israel's not engaged in that. But again, like you said, I mean, cutting off the power when you're engaged in an active conflict is pretty normal, and it's pretty status quo when you have to get engaged in a military conflict, which Israel doesn't want to be in, but sometimes they have to.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, we got a good question. Rebecca on Facebook asks, what does BDS stand for? Boycott, divest, and sanction. Boycott Israeli academics when they're coming to the United States. They've actually done more than boycott. They've interrupted their classes or interrupted their speeches. Divest, encourage companies to stop doing business with Israel. Sanction, put penalties in place because of Israel's existence. BDS, boycott, divest, and sanction the Jewish state of Israel. We are fighting that very, very aggressively at the United Nations next week. You, again, can go with me. We've got over 108,000 signatures. More coming, ACLJ.org. I encourage you to go and sign up for that. We're going to be well over 110,000 by the... Jordan, I don't think we have time for... well, let's take one call. No, let's hold it. We only got a minute and 35 left. All right, folks, let me ask you to do this. Go to ACLJ.org right now. If everybody that's listening or watching on Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org, or listening on radio, right now went over to the website and just signed that petition for Israel, we'll be over 110,000. So let me encourage you to do that right now at ACLJ.org. I've got an email that's going out today. If you're not getting your emails, by the way, you really should. So we encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org. You can sign up there. And the one is about the threats to Israel escalating. This is another version of what's called lawfare, all these attempts to delegitimize the state of Israel. Now, you've heard the first 30 minutes of the broadcast. Now, a lot of stations now know, because a lot of you are carrying it, that we've got a full hour of this broadcast. But if you're not getting it on Sirius XM, you've got the full hour. But if you're not getting it, all you have to do is go over to ACLJ.org. You can get an audio version only. You can get the video version, which is live in the studio. Or you can go over to Facebook at Jay Sekulow. Periscope at Jay Sekulow, and Facebook, Jay Sekulow, JaySekulow. You get the whole broadcast. It's also, of course, now on Apple and Roku. So we're hitting on multiple platforms. But if you want to stay engaged right now, just go over to Facebook and Periscope if you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast right now. When we come back, I'm going to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And again, sign that petition. Defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal advocacy campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the UN, and with world leaders. Add your name to our new petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
remember, next Tuesday at around 10 o'clock Eastern Time, I'll be before the United Nations General Assembly defending Israel in the boycott, divestiture, and sanction movement, an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. We're going to be there front and center with about 110,000 of you. So we're thrilled about that. So again, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org to sign that petition as we go to defend Israel at the United Nations. I want to also encourage you. This is also something that we want to encourage you with. And that is, you have made a huge difference in this because you're actually going with, I'm going to present these petitions to the UN ambassador from Israel to the United Nations, Danny Danone. He's been on this broadcast many times. That will make a big impact as well. So let me encourage you there. Let's go right back to the phones. By the way, Nina on Periscope said she's been watching our movies on Roku every night. Great films. That's because, thanks, Nina. And that is because if you are on, have ability to have Roku, you can get all of our movies. We've got a channel up now, and you get the broadcast as well. So as we get movies done, are we posting the music videos too? The originals? The originals are being posted. Yeah. Yeah, so if you go under shorts, you'll be able to see the music videos of the original song. So a lot of ways to get it. All right, Jordan, let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Cheney calling from New Mexico on line 5. Cheney, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Cheney, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate everything y'all do.
Thanks.
I have a comment, and I have a couple reasons why I feel this way. I hope that they will wait to bring any kind of indictment on Hillary, because I'd like for her to run against Trump in the general election, because I feel pretty confident Trump will whip her in an election.
James Comey said he is not going to be governing his prosecution recommendation by the political clock. And I James Comey's a guy with a lot of integrity. I would suspect that's the case. It doesn't mean, of course, that it won't happen or there won't be some movement before then. But again, as far as I know, they haven't even interviewed her yet. So that leads to me to believe that this talk about an imminent indictment, that cuts against it unless they decide they're not going to interview, which I can't imagine, but that could be the case. All right, Jordan, let's take another call. And by the way, your phone lines are open at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
A lot of calls about how this process would work out. Well, let's go to Charles in Georgia on line 2. Charles, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Charles.
Yes, I have a question about the process.
Yep.
If the indictment does come from FBI Comey and they decide to sit on it and it's a smoking gun type of evidence, can the Attorney General at Lynch be held accountable by
Congress? Let me tell you how the process works, Charles. So James Comey does not have the legal authority to bring an indictment. To bring an indictment, that comes from the United States Department of Justice, the Attorney General's office, or through the U.S. Attorney's offices. The FBI is an investigatory agency. They can't actually bring an indictment. They can recommend an indictment. They can put forward what the criminal case is, but they themselves cannot bring the indictment. That decision ultimately will rest with the Attorney General. Now, if it was strictly a legal opinion, generally when the FBI makes a recommendation, more times than not, the FBI does their recommendation is put forward. There are going to be political consequences here, and I do think that that should be irrelevant, by the way. But, Charles, the reality is I think that it's important for everybody to understand that the FBI does not bring the indictment. The indictment is brought by the United States Department of Justice. Loretta Lynch would have to make that decision, and that would be indicting Jordan, the former Secretary of State.
Yeah, and right before potentially before a presidential election, she may already have the nomination at that point. It could be, again, like you were saying, if there's no indication she's been interviewed, I think, pre-July, it seems unlikely that there would actually be an indictment. Now, it could be that they come out with that referral, but we just don't know. It's a time where, again, I say pay close attention to what happens over the next 10 days.
By the way, Daryl on Facebook asks, isn't it against the law to do what BDS is doing? Many times it is against the law, and it's against what university policies are, engaged in activities that disrupt a class environment, violate civil rights laws. We brought all of those up, Daryl, but that's a great question. Thanks for asking it. Again, sign on to that petition, ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org, and we're going to take more of your calls. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Back with your calls and comments in just a few moments. We got a lot to talk about coming up on the broadcast. You're going to stay tuned. ACLJ.org to sign that petition. Back with more in just a moment.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal advocacy campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a matter of days, we are co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you right now. Add your name to our new petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Now the three-letter words have become problematic. And our leaders,
hey, 108,915 signatures on our petition. We are almost, we're about 1,000 short of 110,000. We believe we're going to be able to get there as I go to the United Nations on Tuesday for a big event, making the case for Israel at the United Nations. So again, that's going to be on Tuesday. I encourage you to be praying for us as we are going forward with that. All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. We got a lot of calls coming in at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take another call, Jordan.
Yeah, Carrie's calling from Arizona on line 3. Carrie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning. Thank you. My question actually is kind of twofold, but okay. I know that the Obama administration, it's all about timing with the administration,
yep.
And I know that they are not soon to let go of the White House, and I don't know how much influence they're going to have once this comes down, and I don't understand how it all works. But my question, first of all, are they able to control how this comes down and kind of let Hillary take all the flack from, you know, the primaries in front of Trump and then slip Biden in there?
Well, let me address that one. So first of all, there's no way any of us are going to know what the timing is of a possible indictment or even a recommendation on referral. James Comey, the director of the FBI, said he is not going to be governed by a political clock. That's number one. Number two, slipping Joe Biden in. It's not that complicated. Jordan's going to lay that out for you now. It's not that complicated because if there wasn't an incident that developed that the leading Democratic nominee was not able to fulfill the ability to run as the nominee for president of the United States, the superdelegates, Jordan, just make the switch.
Yeah, the superdelegates make a switch. And remember, we were talking about on the Republican side, the rules that govern the convention and who can be nominated. That's where the issue would be. So it would have to likely come pre the Democrat convention, which is the end of July, July 25th through the 28th. So it's about a week and a half after the Republican convention. In Cleveland, the Democrat convention will be in Philadelphia. It would have to happen leading up to that because the rules would have to be altered. But that happens at every single convention on both sides. They can put together new rules. So if they were to feel like, for instance, if the FBI issued that recommendation, not an actual indictment yet, but the recommendation from the FBI to the DOJ, that would be a time when the delegates could fight. Now, would it be so simple? Not with the Bernie Sanders delegates. Obviously, there would be a real war going on at the Democrat convention, not one anybody predicted.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls. 1-800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
Yeah, let's go to David calling in from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, on line one. Hey, David.
Hi, David.
Hey, good morning. Hey, thank y'all.
Yep.
Why would anyone indict Hillary when Barack's just going to let her off? I mean,
well, because you don't know if, I mean, he has, the Constitution gives him the ability to pardon. The president has the executive authority to pardon. But the fact of the matter is that pardon doesn't mean that you now that your party's going to say, hey, we want you to be president of the United States. Those are two fundamentally different equations. The question would be if you were indicted and then pardoned, would you want that person then leading your party into a general election for the presidency of the United States? And boy, there is some high risk with that one. And I will tell you, some significant high risk on that one. Let me tell you this. Mark Toner of the State Department, this kind of sets up for you folks what the situation is. They called this a learning experience. By the way, when Hillary Clinton kept talking about a security review, that's what the FBI was doing. The FBI said, we don't do security reviews. We do investigations. I'm holding the security review. That was done by the Inspector General, and she failed it. Okay? She failed the Inspector General report. Now, having said that, here's how the State Department's dealing with it. Mark Toner, number 54.
What I think we're taking away from it is a forward-looking attitude that we've already been doing this, certainly, under Secretary Kerry, where we've been trying to revamp how we conduct our records management and how we conduct business via official email. And, you know, this is, I hate to say it, but it's a learning experience. We have learned important lessons.
This is nonsense. It's breaking the law. Is what it is. So they could spin it any way they want. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We've got a call on the BDS matter on Israel. Let's take Roger's call, Jordan.
Yeah, hey, Roger, calling from Florida on line four. Hey, Roger, welcome to JSecio Live.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a member of the ACLJ.
Well, great. Thank you.
I told your call screener I'd like to know what the Republican Party's position is on Israel, since I know you mentioned earlier in the week that Bernie Sanders and some others have appointed some known anti-Israeli.
Well, yeah, Bernie Sanders is asked, and they are serving on the platform committee. James Zogby, who I'm going to play another soundbite from him, but let me play. Can we get a Cornel West bite? This is to give you a sense of this. This is Cornel West, and then I'll play a James Zogby bite. But these are. Let me play the James Zogby bite first while we find the Cornel West bite. But here's James Zogby.
Israel has not helped the situation. They've compounded it by committing atrocities that have only strengthened the hand of extremists. And that's the problem. Hamas gets validated by Israel's behavior. That's the problem we have to unwind.
Hamas gets validated by Israel's ability to defend itself. But then Cornell takes it, West from Princeton, takes it another step. I want you to listen to what he said. At an event in Washington, D.C. in 2014, he is now a member of the platform committee of the DNC, appointed there by the Sanders campaign, number 21.
Benjamin Netanyahu is a war criminal not because he's Jewish, but because he has chosen to promote occupation and annihilation.
So he's the war criminal, not Hamas and Hezbollah lobbing rockets on civilians. This is nonsense. Now, the DNC is responsible for this because they're allowing these people to be put on the committee. And, Jordan, that to me sums up the whole thing. That's why, by the way, why I'm at the UN on Tuesday fighting this. Okay, I'm fighting this at the U.S. on Tuesday at the U.N. You're going with me. I appreciate it. But this is nonsense. And the DNC put these people on there. It's pretty risky business in my view.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Because, one, they're troublemakers. They're professional troublemakers. Yep. They're professional protesters and rebel rousers. And second, they have taken the extreme views that we talk about on the college campuses. This is a college professor at Ivy League institutions. But again, always has been a radical on a number of issues. And on this one, he's just right in line with where the far left is in the United States. And Bernie Sanders has decided to embrace these individuals because they've embraced him. So he's taking that same kind of message. And that's what Hillary Clinton has tried to point out, I think, is that, listen, folks, this is not acceptable to independent voters in America, this kind of rhetoric that you're okaying. It's kind of what's happened on the Republican side a little bit with Sanders and Trump. I mean, I think that's why they're even thinking about debating, is they take that similar approach of, we're not, you know, we'll put forward folks like
right.
this.
Interesting. Will points this out. So essentially, he's not a war criminal because he's Jewish, as according to Cornel West talking about Netanyahu, but because he's protecting the Jewish state. So that which makes you a war criminal. I mean, this is not a one-way street here, folks. All right, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, we're going to do a rapid-fire round. So any of you that call in on the next segment, you can ask us anything you want. 1-800-684-3110. Let's try to get another call. We'll try to clear these lines up so we can have them all open for you in the last segment. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, we'll go to Maria in Georgia on line five. Maria, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi.
Hi. So glad you took my call.
Sure.
I'm listening on Periscope real quick.
Oh, great.
And I really enjoyed watching you
Thanks.
A lot.
Yeah, you see it warts and all. You see the behind the scenes, and there's a lot, as you know, there's a lot going on. Go ahead.
And I thoroughly enjoy your band.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. My comment was that I've been watching all of the comments about I'm going to do write-ins on the Republican ticket, and that really concerns me because worse than all of Donald Trump, he's all we got right now.
Well, you bring up the point of is a not voting or a write-in vote a vote for the party you don't want. And, I mean, the truth is, Jordan, that is true.
Yeah, these days we have not had a third party that has been able to make a serious run at the White House, and it's never been really successful. It's always kind of been down to two. Ultimately, you may have a libertarian-type candidate that takes away from both, but usually that seemed to affect the Republicans more than it is the Democrats, and especially in the key swing states. Yep.
All right, let's try to get one last call in here, and then, folks, the lines are completely open, and you'll be able to call us at 1-800-684-3110. You'll get a chance to talk to us on air. Go ahead, Jordan.
It's Cheryl in Kentucky online, too. Cheryl, welcome to JSEC Hill.
Hey, Cheryl, real quick.
Hi, yeah, okay, this goes back a little bit. When Paul Ryan was making a big stink on TV about Donald Trump, my question is, why did he even speak to the public? Because isn't he considered bipartisan as a Speaker of the House?
No, he's not bipartisan. He is the leading Republican in the United States House of Representatives and third in line for the presidency of the United States. So, no, he is not, Jordan, it's not a situation where he's a neutral arbiter, elected by a committee of some type. It's an election based on who has a majority of the House. Paul Ryan got the nomination. It's very different.
Yeah, so it all happens internally under Republican House officials. So whoever's in the majority gets to choose the Speaker of the House, and really it's the votes come down between the inside of the party.
Aviel on Periscope, is written, and it's Aviel from Israel, I believe so. I wish Cornell West would go on a tour of the area. There is no occupation. And you are correct. There is no occupation. And we can get into that in the next segment of the broadcast. Hey, it is a rapid-fire round coming up. You know what that means? Anything goes. You can ask us any question you want. We cleared the lines for you. So if you get on here, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110, we get your call. I'm going to send you a signed copy of Undemocratic. 1-800-684-3110 as we celebrate our military and the tremendous service they give to all of us. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget to sign our petition in defense of Israel. You could do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Over 110,000 for sure by the weekend. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal advocacy campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a matter of days, we are co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you right now. Add your name to our new petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
friends that are watching on Facebook and Periscope, we're going to play. Do we have the entire version of God Bless the USA to honor our men and women in the military that have served our country at the end of the broadcast today? You stay on Facebook and Periscope. And if you're not on Facebook and Periscope, you can head over there after the broadcast. We're going to play for you the entire song that we did, that our band did. All right, we're going to go right to our phones. It's rapid fire round. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go right to him.
Bob's calling in from Alabama online too. Bob, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, good to be here. Hi, Jay. The differentiation between this election and previous elections is that whereas the duty of the American voter has always been to study the candidates and select the one and vote for the one that will do the best job, they normally just vote for the one they like.
Right.
And they ain't no warm fuzzy puppies running this year. They are not going to have, not going to do that.
Only
and
from Alabama have... could you say warm fuzzy puppies, but I get it. All right. Yeah.
They haven't had much practice.
Here's the reality, Bob. I mean, you've got two candidates that are running, and one candidate that is now the presumptive nominee, clearly Donald Trump. Jordan, he's rewritten the rule book. I mean, it's a whole – none of the rules that were in place. I was monitoring the news last night on MSNBC, CNN, and Fox. Complete rewrite of the rule book. By the way, I'll be on Fox News tonight on a Hannity special that's supposed to air this evening. But the rules are changed, Jordan. I mean, you've done presidential campaigns. This is not like any you've done.
No, he survived things that no other candidates would. He can say things that no other candidates could get away with saying. And because of that, it's changed – the whole race. Now, does that mean that people who are not that come out of the politician world, Hillary Clinton or even Bernie Sanders, could get away with the same? Not necessarily. Donald Trump is unique. He has a unique platform, and he has brought people who we know, because there's more votes in the Republican primary with still five states, including California, left to go.
Yep.
Technically in the primary process, there've been more votes than ever before at this point. So with one of the largest state in the country, or second largest state, coming up, you've got a situation. Donald Trump has been able to do what no other politician's been able to do in history.
Absolutely correct. All right, right back to the phones we go. Rapid fire. Who's next?
Yeah, we'll go to Ron in Texas on line one. Ron, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey.
Yep, go ahead.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. Hey, I just wanted to know, when it all comes down to the wire, do you think that Donald Trump is going to have to run independently, or is the GOP?
No, I think he's got I think he's got the nomination. I think it's done. I think he's gonna be close to 1,400 or 1,500 delegates. I think contest over, case closed. He's at 1,239 right now. It will be much more than that after California. I think it's a done deal. Most of the party seems to agree. Jordan, it's over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's put together enough delegates already, and he will go way over that next.
Yeah. I think
June
it'll be 1,400 or 1,500.
Yeah, so he's going to have a significant amount of delegates. I don't expect any kind of funny business at the Republican side. He's got the nomination.
All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. We're getting a couple calls in on BDS matters, which is great as well.
Yeah, we'll go to Dolores in Texas on line four first. Dolores, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Dolores.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Appreciate everything you do, and
thanks.
I'm not a big fan of the UN, but have they ever tried to divest any other nation besides Israel?
The like only this? Time there's been anything like this in the history has been South Africa during apartheid, but never to this level, by the way, and never on the campuses like it is here. So it's not just the United Nations we're dealing with. We're dealing with a global movement. It's the social justice for Palestine issue, and it's this false narrative that is what's happened here. It's a completely false narrative. So what they're doing is they're promoting this idea or this agenda that you can use, for instance, they'll go to international tribunals to claim war crimes. Remember, we talked about that. We got a couple of calls on that. We defended Israel's position at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, and we won. But again, it was this attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. This is an ongoing issue that they have to deal with. This is another version of lawfare. It's an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel through these boycott, divestiture, and sanction movements, where they are intimidating or trying to intimidate Jewish or Israeli or pro-Jewish or pro-Israeli students. I've represented evangelicals, Jewish students, Baha'is, and Hindus in this regard. That's how broad-based. Anybody that comes out in favor of the state of Israel on a campus could be subject to this, and that's why we're fighting back so aggressively. But again, Tuesday, the United Nations, it is going to be a big day. We encourage you to watch it.
Yeah, let's go to Daryl calling in from Arkansas on line five. Daryl, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Jay. My question is this. If what the BDS movement is doing is against the law when they disrupt these professors,
yes,
can we not push to get what they're doing classified as a hate crime?
We've already done it, and we've actually been successful at it. We have two university professors we've represented that had their classes disrupted. We were successful in not only defending them, but having the students sanctioned. That's part of what we have to do on this. But again, you got to look not only at the federal or state law, but also the rules and regulations of the university. We have four lawyers at the ACLJ that are committed to this work, committed to this project. We are going to do it. What I want to find out is, will the UN, will those proceedings be will simulcast through the, and check with the Israeli ambassador's office. They may have a link to where we could actually play it, a lot of this during radio, which would be, you know, fantastic. I'm going to try to come out and give a live report. All right, Jordan, let's do another call.
Yep, we'll go to Danella. Danelle calling from Washington State on line 6. Danelle, welcome to JSEC. You're live.
Oh, thank you so much, Jay. Yep. I have a comment about Barack Obama's apology tour.
Yep.
In Asia. My uncle died at Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
And what he's been doing is disrespectful and not fitting of a world leader. And I'm very, very disgusted.
So, because you're talking about going to Hiroshima and all of this, he specifically said, Jordan, he's not apologizing. He said, to look through the lens of history to understand the issue. Rather than saying the United States was justified in defending its own interests and the interest of the world from the Imperial Empire of Japan's attacks in conjunction with the Germans. I mean, this is pretty significant.
This is the contrast between an America who acts like, we'd never use this kind of force again, and the Donald Trump kind of rhetoric, which is saying, hey, you know, we've got these weapons, so if you push us too far, we've done it before, we may do it again. I mean, that, I think, is a direct contrast with how you could see the world. Not that we're going to go wave around nuclear weapons, but the idea that we are somehow acting as if we won't ever utilize some of the new technology available, that's something I think people are just a little sick and tired of. And it's not to say, you know, the president can't go to Japan, but it's the whole kind of continuation of, even though he's not directly apologizing, what he did the first, the first moments he was in office, which was go to the Middle East and do that.
It's interesting. Politico calls it President Obama's apology complex, that this is kind of in his DNA. And I think listen, he ran on this and he's fulfilling it. Here's what we're going to do. Our broadcast is going to be over with in less than a minute, but we are going to play the entire version of God Bless the USA, Lee Greenwood's song that he did with our band on video. So if you're listening right now and you want to swap over to ACLJ.org, I guess we'll have it there. If not there, we'll certainly have it on Facebook and Periscope. Will they have it on the website or probably not? Yeah, so it'll be on Periscope and Facebook. So we encourage you to go over there, and we'll do it. Again, not too late for you to sign on to that petition at ACLJ.org. As I go to defend Israel at the United Nations, you can go with me, ACLJ.org. And again, a huge thank you to our men and women that have served and are continuing to serve to protect this country of ours, the United States of America. No other place you'd rather live. God's blessed America. He will continue to do so. I believe that. We've got to thank our men and women in the military who are standing with us. After this, after we go off the air for Facebook and Periscope, if you like, we're going to play, as long as Facebook's working okay, we're going to play the entire song that we did with Lee Greenwood in our studios here just a couple months back. Back with more on the music in a minute.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal advocacy campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the UN, and with world leaders. Add your name to our new petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.